Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Cloud Security Alliance's podcast series, CSA Security Update. I'm your host, John DeMaria. CSA is the world's leading organization dedicated to defining and raising awareness of best practices to help ensure a secure cloud computing environment. We harness the subject matter expertise of industry, associations, governments, and members to offer the best in research, education, certification, events, and products. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of CSA Security Update. I am your host, John DeMaria, and today's episode, we're going to be discussing something that is really becoming of age. Organizations are no longer happy with some of this point-in-time auditing for security, or points over time, and we're moving more into the age of this information security era where continuous monitoring or continuous auditing is becoming the sort of the requirement these days, because organizations want to understand not just what you're doing in terms of your security posture overall, but what happens between those questionnaires or those audits that you have year on year. So continuous monitoring, continuous auditing, especially in our virtual age, is becoming very, very important. And so, you know, who better to talk to that about than Travis Howerton. He is the co-founder and CEO of RedScale, a company that really revolutionizes the GRC sector with its continuous controls monitoring platform, which addresses gaps in traditional GRC frameworks by integrating security, risk, and compliance. Prior to RedScale, Travis has held significant positions, such as the Global Director of Strategic Programs at Bechtel Corporation, and other various leadership roles, which also include the U.S. Department of Energy and Deputy Director for IT Services at Oak Ridge National Laboratory and CTO for National Security Administration. So Travis has been cited in over 50 publications and actively participates in the Eastern Tennessee Economic Council and gives back, I guess, as Oak Ridge Public Schools Education Foundation boards. So, Travis, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. Why don't we start out? Tell us a little bit about, I guess, RedScale overall and what you all are trying to accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were practitioners in this space for many years, and we never really found tools that would solve our problems. So I've been a big buyer of legacy GRC tools in prior roles. I won't say any particular ones, but they all had what I view as 20-year-old approaches to the problem, whereas they're automated in the sense that you type it into a web portal instead of Word or Excel, but it's still heavily manual. People fall back to spreadsheets. And you get some benefit of where you're at in process and reporting, but at the expense of a lot more cost, a lot more manual labor, and in my case, a little bit of employee revolt and not wanting to do it. And so we were looking at, you know, that nothing's really fully scratched that itch as far as we were concerned. At the same time, we saw some emerging trends coming, where it was going to break the way people have always thought about doing this. So first trend is everything is a function of time. And I realize I'm talking to Cloud Security Alliance, so you guys will get this, is going to be cloud native. So if you're building a new app from scratch, over time, they're all going to be cloud, which means they're going to be ephemeral. And I grew up in a world where you drew a boundary around something. You said, these are my assets. You harden them. and that's how you do good security. Well, that's very difficult to do when you never know what's running and your assets are a moving target. At the same time, the regulatory environment's getting worse. So we're looking at things like the new SEC reporting requirements, the new AI requirements, just stacking on top of one another. So the regulatory burden is growing. And then Moore's Law continues unabated. So we're having to do things 4 to 8 times faster than we used to have to do it against a growing set of requirements, all against a moving target. And when we talk to people, you know, how well do you feel like you're positioned to meet that challenge? Nobody we talked to was in a good place. Everybody was struggling. They had big backlogs and other things. Cyber was also often viewed as putting the no in innovation because of that, just because there was so much work, so few people, and it was so manual. It was just very, very difficult. And so the birth of RecScale was, how do we rethink this foundationally to do something beyond GRC approaches, which is where we came up with the continuous controls monitoring, which is really taking a Toyota value system approach of how you lean out everything in GRC to make it more cost effective, faster, and lower risk. And so that's kind of how we got to here, and happy to talk a little bit about some of the approaches people take, but that's how we got into this space, is looking at that problem, looking at the growing trends, and thinking somebody ought to do something about that. And at the end of the day, that somebody ended up being us.
Yeah, fantastic. And I was reading, I think I read somewhere, maybe you and I had a conversation about agile compliance. It's a little different approach. Maybe you could introduce us to the concept of agile compliance and how it differs from traditional compliance models.
Yeah. So if you think about normal compliance approaches, you know, you periodically go out, you do audits, you collect some sample, and you get a point in time snapshot of where you're at. The problem with that approach is, one, systems are dynamic in real time, and your audit program is manual and reactive. And so when you look at that, there's a cadence mismatch. They don't line up. At the same push, you're seeing a lot of regulators saying, does it really make sense to look at this control once every year or 3 years? There's a lot of risk in that gap. Like, how do you know you're still where you think you are? So there's this growing need to be always audit ready. And so when we talk about agile compliance, that's kind of what we mean, is how do you move from this point in time snapshot? And sort of the one example I will give that stuck with me, I had a buddy of mine when I was back in my nuclear weapons days, and he described audit programs as a mother-in-law visit, where basically, you know, they're coming. You know they're going to look at a certain thing, so you clean your house to some ridiculous standard to prepare for it, and you pretend it always looks this way. And no matter how much you clean it, they're going to find problems, and you're going to be harshly judged anyway. And so that kind of stuck with me. And so the idea is, like, why don't we just keep the house always in good order? And so that's where agile compliance came in. Can we use APIs to self-update paperwork? Can we take compliance as code and get out of manually creating things? And can we leverage AI to get rid of stare and compare so that we're getting a bigger sample size, it's more real time, and the paperwork updates itself so that you get the benefits of compliance without all the cost and pain of it? Because I don't know anybody who wants to do a poor job in security. We just all struggle with the resources we're given versus the threat we're facing. And how do you balance that equation better? So we're trying to flip the economics on its head for the cyber defenders and the folks who are trying to do compliance right to make it easier and more cost effective.
Yeah, and I like the analogy about the mother-in-law analogy, because as much as we'd like to say, you know, the old adage, you know, you should always be ready for an audit. While that's technically correct, that's not how many people operate. And yep. So the continuous auditing, continuous monitoring brings much higher accountability to organizations, because you can actually see that history over time. And so you can tell, you know, what critical aspects have been affected or improved. So it's a great way to handle that that continuous auditing and making sure, as you say, you know, what happens between those formal audits that you have. And so that brings to mind, you know, this brings a lot of, you know, automation, obviously, as you mentioned, you know, either tools like yours or AI tools to help, you know, to help in that quest for this continuous landscape of compliance. What about risk management? How is automation changing that landscape of not only compliance, but risk management and really governance? You know, what's, you know, we have to bring technology into this. So sort of give us an overview of the technologies that are involved in that automation.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of things there. So one is compliance and risk to me are completely tied together, and it goes with your governance as well. And the reason I say that is you've got sort of three ways you end up with a control. So the first way is a regulator says, go do something. So you get something from NIST or HIPAA or PCI, or you're following the CSA controls, whatever it is, there's something that says, hey, go do this thing. And those controls are really just best practices that say, go do something. Then you've got your operational controls, which is more, what do I need to run my business or my organization? Maybe that tie to your SLAs and other things. And then lastly, you've got your risk controls, which is, what might an adversary try to do to me? What risk does that expose? And what controls am I putting in place to mitigate that risk? But at the end of the day, they all meet in the middle at a control. And then if you think about controls, they all have the same life cycle, meaning I've got to build a control. I've got to basically attest to what I'm going to do. I've then got to go collect evidence to prove that I'm doing it. I've got to audit or assess it to make sure I'm doing what I said I was doing, that it's fair and reasonable. I've got to fix problems that come out of that. And then I'm making risk-based decisions about what I will or won't do based off what the business can afford, what the technology can do. And then you govern every step of that. And so for audit traceability. And so what we've done is take a value stream approach. And so I grew up in the Toyota production system. I'm an old nuclear weapons guy. And so I got the religion of value stream mapping. And so instead of just automating everything in the sense of like, let's go put it all in one place, what we did is say, where does it cost time and money or expose us to risk at every step? And how do we apply unique technologies into each of those buckets to fundamentally shift that cost and time equation? And so there's a variety of tools under the hood that become super important. One is we live in an API economy. So the more cloud native you are, we have massive amounts of telemetry. So we're able to pull data with automation that historically wasn't really possible. Also, we're big fans of compliance as code. So you might have heard of NIST OSCAL or OCSF for sharing security data that some of the hyperscalers are pushing. Let's leverage standards for compliance as code to make things more interoperable. We'll pull it via the APIs. We'll output things in machine-readable ways. And then we will audit using things like AI to get out of manual steer and compare exercises, manual control implementation statements. There's a whole variety of things we can use technology for, not to replace the humans, but to supercharge them. Because I don't know anybody who wants AI making the risk-based decisions for their organization, but if it can get rid of the manual drudgery that goes into the work that sucks up 80% of your analyst time and get them 80% of the time thinking about risk instead, those people are more valuable to the organization and they'll be happier in their jobs. And so that's sort of the view we've taken is it's not about replacing these folks. They're super valuable. They're hard to find. There's not enough of them in our country to meet the need. It's about how do you get one person to operate like they're four or five using technology. And so that's been our approach all along.
Yeah. Sounds like we're going back to the old lean systems back in the Six Sigma days when you're trying to figure out how do you consolidate. And yeah, you have so many resources. How do I consolidate resources and cost?
100%.
And AI, AI is going to serve a purpose in that. So you covered a couple of my other issues that I had on the table here, but I guess I want to jump over to, since we're talking about technology and advances in technology, maybe you could explain, you know, how are these advances in technology and compliance automation? Can you expand a little bit on the risk in terms of how it helps streamline their processes and reduces risk? Because, you know, technically, you know, it's a tool. You use it to monitor your systems, and, you know, it could be just turning out data for data's sake. Yep. So how does it work hand in glove to, you know, help streamline processes and actually reduce risk?
Yep. So a couple of key things there. One is, one big area of risk is that cadence mismatch, where work as imagined and work in reality become increasingly disconnected as a function of time, what's often referred to as compliance drift, where you think you're in one state, but you're actually in another. And if you're on a 3-year continuous monitoring, I'm going to audit a third of my controls every year program, is it really acceptable to wait 3 years to find out you've been out of compliance with an MFA requirement on a high value asset? Probably not. Most people would say that's not a great place to be. And so at the same time, everywhere I've ever worked, compliance is a cost center. And so nobody wants to spend a ton of money on this. It pulls away from mission, bottom line, depending on, you know, which type of organization you're in. And so the trick is, how do I get more frequent audits at lower cost to make sure I'm identifying risk as early in the process as possible? Because everything I've been trained on is the sooner you identify and the earlier you detect it and fix it, the cheaper it is and the smaller the risk profile is. And so it's, how can you use automation to do continuous audits? The second is precision. And so you made a good point about noise. A lot of times in cybersecurity, we aren't data poor. We are overwhelmed with data. And so how do you find the needle in a haystack of needles when you're getting lots of unstructured data, you're sending data calls out and requesting information and evidence from IT to go pull back to do your audit? We spend a lot of our time just in the process of getting tons of data. So we waste a lot of the valuable analyst time just doing drudgery, sort of soul-sucking type work to go pull stuff. And then we end up with too much data. By doing things in machine readable, this is where things like OSCAL can really help. You're getting data in a precise format the same way every time. You can look at it with automation and AI and other things. And now what we can do is surface to the analyst, here's what's really important. We filtered out a lot of the noise for you, and here's where a human needs to make some decisions, and we can focus people better. So I think it's getting rid of the time lag and then improving the focus is how you drive the risk out in those things.
Yeah. So speaking of that noise, just staying on that for a second. So if I'm, I'm a cloud service provider, I need to meet the requirements of the cloud control matrix, but I also need to meet the requirements of 27001 and maybe PCI, so on and so forth. So what you're saying is this automation actually eliminates sort of that redundancy as well and gets rid of, so you know, many of the things we hear from companies being audited, you know, have multiple certifications and so on, is that, you know, you can have two or three different auditors. They come in and they write reports that are two or three totally different reports. And one may say you're in compliance with this control. Another may say you're not in compliance with this control. You know, I'm assuming that, I mean, automation sort of cuts through that, you know, gets rid of that redundancy and ambiguity, I guess, sort of speak, in terms of the data that you're getting.
Yeah, it's the precision by doing things machine readable, compliance as code, can help you filter out noise. Because if you think about, you know, where does automation work best in computer science in general, the more precise the data is, the better you can train the AI, the machine learning, the algorithms to do things in near real time as a substitute or near peer for a human analyst. So I think that precision's always going to help. The other thing that helps when you think continuous controls monitoring is the silos you get in data, which, is, for example, like almost everybody has vulnerability scanners of some type. At the same time, everybody's drowning in vulnerabilities. And so it's not enough just to have cyber run a scan. Here's a million things you don't have time to do and enjoy that. Which is what it feels like a lot of the time when you're on the practitioner side. The people who actually fix those things are seldom the cyber person. It's usually someone in IT who owns configuration management, who's got to roll out patches. They don't tend to work in those tools. They tend to have their own tools. They're getting tickets from ServiceNow or Jira or whatever ITIL system they're in. So part of that control monitoring is just automating the workflows and handoffs between groups. So when you find a new vulnerability, it auto-generates tickets. As soon as it gets patched, vulnerability comes back clean, it closes it out. Your compliance posture is always updating in real time, and you can kind of see exactly where you're at. And so that's why I keep bringing up value stream mapping, because you've got to think end to end. What are we trying to accomplish? Where are we bottlenecking and having problems in this workflow? And how do we make that flow seamless end to end so that it works better? We can pull time and cost out. So that's just another example of a common one. There's multiple that would fall into this space, but it's really trying to rethink end to end how we've always gone after this problem so that it's smoother, it's more precise, and it's more cost efficient.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, and we talked a lot of different scenarios. Maybe you can boil this down and maybe cite a particular success story that comes to mind in a real life situation. Obviously, you don't have to name the company, but just sort of give us a quick success story of how an organization transformed their compliance journey through this automation and continuous monitoring process.
Yeah, so I'll give you one example, it's one where I can't say the specific customer, but they're a large government agency in national security. They have a massive backlog of what they call ATOs, or authority to operate packages, as part of their risk management framework. So if you're going to store government data, you've got to meet the NIST requirements. Some Fed has to review and approve those packages. They audit them. It's a lot of manual work. We've been working with a software factory there to plug our technology into a broader ecosystem of tools where all of that CCM stuff that I mentioned is being orchestrated. And we're still early days there, but their initial, and these are their numbers, their initial performance improvements are on the order of magnitude of 200,000%. Which tells you how quick it is to do some of these things with automation versus the weeks and months it was taking them to do it manually. So it tells you that there's something cool about the technology and what you're able to do. But it also tells you that these business processes are fundamentally broken. Like, they're inefficient and they can't keep pace. They were built for 1990s client server world, where you could draw a moat around things and keep everything isolated, and systems were largely static. nothing about these business processes were built for a dynamic, ephemeral cloud world. So the ability to do these things with automation, it gets them the security outcome that they need because they're in national security. It will make sure that they get through audits easily. But it will also, and more importantly, get capability out to the warfighter in dramatically shorter times and keep our troops safe. And so that's probably our best example of one working end to end and that we're super proud of. And we're still early days. There's a lot more we can do. And there's many others like that that we've worked with. But that's the one, given their national security role, I would say that we're the most proud of.
Oh, great. Great example. So, and, people are going to our, listeners, pretty diverse audience, different levels of organization. And, this all sounds great and good. And, but now they have to go back to, the board or their boss, whoever, and talk about strategy, talk about recommendations, talk about, why they should do this. So maybe some tips and strategies you would recommend for organizations that are looking to adapt a more proactive and automated approach to compliance.
Yeah. So I think there's really a couple different approaches. When we talk to customers, they kind of fall into a couple different buckets. One is the revenue bucket. So part of compliance is I need to be certified with something so I can do business with this organization, whether it's the U.S. government or Europe or wherever it may be. There are laws and regulations you need to meet to do business there. So this can be a revenue accelerator for you, the ability to get and maintain certifications and compliance for these different things. Can help drive revenue for your company. So it moves you into the profit center side of the equation versus the cost center. While you're in the cost center, these heavy GRC tools and manual processes, there's a lot of opportunity to pull cost out, both in licensing, manpower, other things as a function of time. There's a business case driven approach. And then for many of our customers, they're less cost sensitive in this area than they are risk sensitive. Like they absolutely cannot tolerate a breach. They can't tolerate regulatory findings and other things that would damage their reputation publicly. The consequence of those things is significantly higher than whatever they're spending on the cost center side to maintain their compliance, but they're largely throwing bodies at it. What I tell people is at some point, the body strategy doesn't work. And so if you look at this moving target times a much larger regulatory footprint at much greater speed, you will outstrip the human brain's ability to keep up with that. There's too many things moving against too many regulations and it's all going too fast. You're going to miss things. It won't matter how many bodies you throw at it. You're not going to be able to keep up. And it doesn't mean you've got to go buy a reg skill. What it does mean is you've got to think through how am I going to take advantage of some of these opportunities in front of me to be able to handle this speed so I can better support my organization? Because people who can't digitally transform, who can't move fast, are going to get left behind, right? So it's how do you rethink your strategy to better support the business? And then we gave a couple examples of areas of where you ought to think about it. Leveraging compliance as code, using AI to pull manual processes out, using APIs to create self-updating paperwork for the regulators, and just everywhere you can, trying to find ways to go faster, pull risk out, and reduce costs. But we think that's the future. It's a train that's heading at people faster than they realize. The final quote I'll leave you with is like Moore's law works exponentially and humans don't think well in exponentials. This problem gets a lot worse, a lot faster than people think it's going to. And it will outstrip the human's ability to keep up with it very soon. So we're going to need better tools and better strategies. And so that's what we push people is if you're not putting a strategy together about how you're going to deal with this. You're going to get left behind, and you need to start thinking through the problem and what works for your organization based off what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Great advice. Great advice. Now I'm going to ask you to take out your crystal ball and let's talk about, you know, this is, as this evolves, kind of a two-part question here, but, you know, first of all, what trends should we watch for? It's kind of, it seems like security is kind of like the stock market. You know, there's all kinds of things hitting you from all different directions. You have to figure out what is it, what are the few things I should be keeping my eye on that gives me sort of the pulse of compliance management, and, you know, how do you predict the role of technology, governance risks and management? How's that going to evolve? Because, you know, you have a lot of security questionnaires that go out and come back and so on and so forth. And that's a lot of work, resources, not sure what that means. Some organizations, it is a level of transparency, but I'm just curious if, you know, we're starting to evolve into this where, you know, continuous auditing, continuous monitoring, or even an evidence-based self-assessment is going to be an order coming into the future.
Yeah, I think there's a couple trends that you're going to see, and I'll start. So I'm a former national security guy. We've taken for granted the amount of peace we've had in the world since World War II. There's a lot of things between Ukraine, what's going on in Israel, the threat of China and Taiwan. The world is increasingly less stable. And in a less stable world, the cyber footprint and attack scenarios and the nature of modern war, where cyber is its own attack domain, it's getting increasingly risky. And so I think that macro dynamic does not look good for the next 10 years. So I think understanding the world is changing and getting more dangerous. At the same time, we've talked a lot about the benefits of AI for the defender and the legacy GRC sort of modernization. But at the same time, we haven't talked about attackers. And attackers are leveraging AI today and will continue to do so, and it will continue to get better. So you're going to see the attacks getting more sophisticated and faster, because you can scale your attack business the same way you can scale your defense business. So I think you're going to start to see more AI versus AI things. Some of the latest ChatGPT-4 stuff is outscoring 90% of people on standardized tests. So just imagine what that means for your phishing program. If it's smarter than 90% of your staff coming out of the box, it's going to get more dangerous. And so I think the AI attack threats are real and growing. The national security threats are real and growing. And because of all of that, you are seeing increased regulatory and board interest in what's happening. So you're going to get more regulations. We're already seeing that in some AI regulations that are coming out. The new SEC rules on incident disclosures, some of what's going on in business resiliency for financial institutions and DORA that will probably make its way to the U.S. pretty fast, like the privacy GDPR stuff did. So when you look at all of this, the situation is getting worse, not better. So if you're struggling today with what you're dealing with, just realize you're walking into a more hostile environment that's going to move much faster, and that you need to prepare your organization for it.
Yeah. And then, I guess finally, you know, what are some of the lessons learned that you personally, I mean, just out in the field, doesn't have to be with, you know, Dread Scale or whatever, but from your personal experience and, you know, you've been around, what are some of the lessons that you've learned that sort of brought you to where you're at today?
Yep. And I think maybe a couple of quick things. I think you've got to realize software is eating the world. So anything that can be automated as a function of time will be. So you need to ride that wave and try to embrace it in your risk and compliance program. So find ways to automate more and more things. I think you want to make doing the right thing the easy thing. I had a boss who was CIO at ORNL when I was there, used to say that all the time, and it stuck with me. Nobody nobody goes non-compliant and makes risky decisions on purpose in general. It happens by accident, or it gets missed, or you get overwhelmed. So to the degree you can use automation to make doing the right thing the easy thing, you'll get better and more consistent outcomes. And then I think the last thing I'll leave you with, just also the deputy who was at ORNL, he told me, I was going into a brief with him, and project wasn't going well, and I was very much prepared to get chewed out. And so I was kind of dancing around an issue, and he said, Travis, the best plans start with the truth. You can accept it now, or you can accept it later. It'll still be true. He said, it's always faster and cheaper to accept it now. Some of these things I said are just true. Like the fact that things will become more cloud native as a function of time and more ephemeral is true. The fact regulations are growing in scope and getting more teeth is true. The fact Moore's law is accelerating rapidly is true. And so if you look at what's happening, like the quicker you can accept the truth, rationalize it, and have a plan, the better off you're going to be.
Yep. Great advice. Great lessons learned. Good stuff. It really brought a lot to the table and a lot to think about. So I appreciate you taking out your busy schedule to join us. And, I'm just going to put it out there that because we usually tell the audience, you know, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, I suppose, you know, LinkedIn's probably the best. So to keep your inbox sort of organized, LinkedIn might be the best place for people to contact you. And of course, you could also get on cloudsecurityalliance.org, contact us if you need to talk directly to Travis, or if you want to find out more information about Red Scale or CSA's continuous monitoring, continuous auditing profiles. And so appreciate you taking out time, Travis, and just wanted to again thank you again, and have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, sir. It's always an honor to be with the Cloud Security Alliance, and thanks for having us today.
Fantastic. Bye now.